I'm with the Australian Indigenous Psychologists Association, and we're active within the Australian Psychological Society because that's our professional body. And there's been a few things, a few initiatives, very powerful initiatives happening in the APS, as we call it. Like, for instance, we've got a interest group that brings together Indigenous psychologists, non-Indigenous psychologists. We did a big research project that looked at increasing the number of Indigenous psychologists, but also putting Indigenous studies into psychology curriculum. There's only about 100 psychologists, Indigenous psychologists, even if we increase that to parity, so I think that'd be about 700 or so. There's still not enough of us. I think that to deal with some of the issues that are happening, we really need to have non-Indigenous psychologists and professionals working alongside us, alongside communities, but they need to be culturally competent. And hence, we were very concerned about putting Indigenous studies into the curriculum. And we're yet to do that. The research project enabled us to talk to a lot of schools of psychology and to come up with a curriculum framework. And I think that it's pretty... Well, I feel optimistic. I think that over time, schools of psychology will include Indigenous studies and, you know, start considering other cultural groups as well. So it's on the back of that. And I think, you know, when I first started off, there was very little support or interest in our Indigenous matters, and that's changed. And I think that reflects our changing Australian society. So I think there's different perceptions of nationhood. We've matured as a society. Apology was quite a big landmark, and we did it to a full audience. So it was at our annual APS conference or congress, and that apology was given to at lunchtime, and, you know, it was an excellent crowd. We had called all the Aboriginal people in the audience, whether they were psychologists or mental health professionals or whatnot, to the stage so they could accept the apology. And it was quite a moving moment. There was a standing ovation, people were crying. It was a real historical moment.
I can imagine. And just reading some of the things here, it says that the APS was apologising for, among other things, conducting research that benefited the careers of researchers rather than improve the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. That's a pretty powerful thing that to say. It really conjures up a lot of things that did happen to our people in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, until recently, and I think it still happens nowadays, is that I just had an encounter with one group that's doing a conference on Indigenous mental health, and I said, "Who are you?" And there's some private company. And I said, "Where's your Aboriginal or Indigenous governance body and advisors?" And they don't have any. And I wrote to them and I said, "You know, this is exploitation of Indigenous people. You've got no right to host a conference unless you've got Aboriginal, you know, some kind of Aboriginal governance happening." And I don't think they could see the point of it. So there's still people who are, in my view, unless they get Indigenous people very much involved and they benefit, you know, they are exploiting us. So, and research certainly was like that for not only us, but lots of minority groups, where it was the researcher who benefited. You know, there was some knowledge or insight given on the group, but really those people, they were called subjects, and they weren't important. So they were just the fodder for someone's career advancement. So I was particularly impressed when I saw that, because it's something that a discipline rarely acknowledges. So I was very impressed. I personally did not write that. That was the non-Indigenous people of the APS who wrote that. So I saw drafts of it. But as an apology, the core had to come from them. So, yeah, it was very impressive. Now, there's been a lot of media around the apology, which I was happily surprised about. We've been contacted by America, by the Indian Psychologists Association and the American Psychological Association. It even made the newspapers in China. So it is interesting that Indigenous psychology isn't just a concern of a few of us living in Australia or New Zealand. I've got some very strong Maori psychologist colleagues, but it's become a global issue, and rightly so, rightly so.
A report released in June by the Medical Journal of Australia called for a Royal Commission and more innovative approaches to mental health. This is talking about the Kimberley region. Do you think that there should be a Royal Commission into the mental health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the issues that have come from things like stolen generation?
Yeah, I think there should be. I mean, I know it sounds quite radical, but I think there should be a Royal Commission into Indigenous suicide and mental health. Because where I sit, it seems that we're always jockeying for consideration in various policies and plans and whatnot. And also when things do happen, sometimes it's not in a way that includes the correct or appropriate Indigenous organisations or individuals. So I think I'd like to see some reform happen, and if that's through a Royal Commission, maybe that's the way to go. It's still very difficult to get Indigenous perspectives and things to be done in the appropriate way with full and proper Indigenous governance and engagement, you know, all through. So that's still a challenge. It's, yeah, a bit sad that it is in, you know, 2016.
You're listening to SBS Living Black Radio. I'm Kylie Thorpe, and I'm speaking with Professor Pat Dudgeon about the apology that was issued last month by the Australian Psychological Society to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Do you want to talk a bit about the trauma that people might be experiencing from the stolen generations and transgenerational trauma that's passed down?
Yeah, Kylie, I'm happy to talk about that. Intergenerational trauma has emerged as a really big and powerful issue that we have to deal with. You know, there's been studies done where people who have been stolen, they have higher vulnerability, higher suicide rates, higher psychological distress and all the rest of it. So there's a whole heap of healing that does need to be done. I'm pretty impressed, and I think that I'd like to see places like the Healing Foundation. That's a good organisation that works in a good way with our people, and I'd like to see the Healing Foundation, you know, funded so they can help more communities embark on their healing journey. And we also need a centralised space so we can come together and learn from each other and grow together as well. So I think places like the Healing Foundation have great potential. It is an issue. The whole process of colonisation, I mean, not many of us are untouched, whether it's our immediate or extended family. So it is a big issue for us. And we do need to heal so we can, you know, seize a brighter future.
You can mention the stolen generations, but I guess it's not only the stolen generations, it's just everything that's happened in general.
Yeah, it's passed on. I mean, you know, and they accept that for instance, for Jewish people after the Holocaust, that, you know, that trauma is passed down. So true for Indigenous people, whether it's in Australia or other countries that were occupied.
So you're saying that there needs to be more Indigenous psychologists. When I think of psychology, it seems like a really giant undertaking to get into that profession. Can you talk about what sort of qualities you might need, or who could be a psychologist? Can anyone be a psychologist?
Look, anyone can be a psychologist or a mental health professional. You know, there's a whole range of helping professions and a whole range of community programs too that are about helping people. So I think we have to demystify things sometimes as well. But we do have Indigenous psychologists, psychiatrists, mental health workers, community healers. So there's a huge gamut of different places or different professions people can take up. But if people are keen on psychology, obviously you need to go to university to do that. And I was living in Darwin when I decided to go to study, so I had to go down to Perth. So for me, because there wasn't a university in Darwin at that time, so I did have to leave my community up there. but I love Perth and I've just stayed here. But thankfully for most people that you do have a university close by, that I think higher education is much more accessible. Now, if you've left school early and, you know, the doors aren't closed, you can do... Usually most universities will have an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Education Centre, and they'll provide things like bridging courses, or they'll help you do mature age entry. If you're prepared to be committed for a number of years, you can go into university and do a whole range of different programs, including psychology.